and welcome. It's our number three, of the Ben Maller radio program. And we thank you for downloading this hour. It's a baseball hour. What a wild night it was. I was flipping around. I watched the NBA game mostly, but earlier that game started at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock in the West. So I had plenty of time to watch random East Coast, Midwestern baseball games. And I was checking out the Nationals and the Phillies. And Washington ace Max Scherzer going to crazy town, having a conniption fit on the mound. Do you have any empathy for Max Scherzer, who got into it with Joe Girardi? We'll break that down for you. And also, others going full nudity, well, kind of, in baseball. That and more right now. Here it is, our number three. File this one under ball busting. Ball busting. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. Here we are together again in the air everywhere as we play musical chairs coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the sweatshop as we slave away over a hot microphone here in the Fox Sports Radio studios. And we thank you for choosing to listen to us this hour. You have options, not many good options, but we're here, and we thank you. So our lead this hour comes from Major League Baseball. That's where the drama-o-rama is. What a scene it was in several ballparks around the big leagues. Now, we are going to focus in on the Delaware Valley on Tuesday night. A couple of the teams that are not playoff teams, the Fightin' Phils hosting the Washington Nationals. What happened to that natitude? Anyway, it's all about the subplot, as it often is in these type of stories. So we had Max Scherzer, a decorated major league pitcher, versus Joe Girardi. That's right, manager versus pitcher. Did you see this? Maybe not. So let me give you the very brief Cliff Notes version of what happened. So the ace of the Washington Nationals was caught up in a whirlwind of, can I see your hat? Can I see your glove? He kept getting checked for the sticky stuff, the sticky substances.
It happened. Balls.
Yeah, baseball loves their balls. In the first inning, they checked him. In the third inning, they checked him. And then again in the fourth inning, the umpire said, hey, can I see if you got any of the sticky stuff? And that is when he had a Chernobyl-type meltdown coming off the mound. Scherzer had reached the end of the rope. He had had it as he was being checked again mid-inning in the fourth inning for foreign substances at the request of Joe Girardi. I don't know if we have the audio on this or not, but it was a wild scene in Philly because of the body language and the gyrations of Max Scherzer as he was going all over. We have some of the audio. It's from TV, so TV audio is not good. Radio audio is better, but we have it, so we'll play it. Here's a kind of what it sounded like as Max Scherzer was being checked and did not appreciate the cavity search.
Joe Girardi is asking the home plate umpire, Tim Timmons and Alfonso Marquez, to take a look at something. Joe must have seen something with one of the baseballs. Scherzer's looking over to the dugout saying, really? But they must have seen something. So Dave Martinez is coming out.
Davey's upset.
He is upset. Look at Joe. I love it. I love it.
That was the Philadelphia Phillies TV scene. Now Cuba Loop's been like a bulldog on this. He's desperately trying to find good audio. So I think we found better audio. So let's ignore that audio and let's listen to this audio. Let's go to the audio tape. Here we go.
Try to throw somebody off their game, and Davey rightfully coming out to protect his guy to see what's going on here.
Mac drops his hat, and Carlos Torres is going to get mad at him. This is in the middle of an inning after you struck a guy out. and it was initiated by the other manager. If I'm Davey, I'm not standing for this at all. And now Girardi's going to come out and become a bigger part of it.
Well, I love how Davey's coming out to protect his guy here. Girardi trying to find anything to get Max off his game, but honestly, I think it's only going to fire him up more and going to make him better.
All right, so that was the Washington Nationals television broadcast. So you heard both sides, slightly different take from the Washington Nationals. Now, you didn't hear all of the details. Yeah, you didn't hear all the details. But Mad Max was so fed up. How fed up was he that he literally he took his glove off, his hat, and he started to undress. He took the belt. He started to take the belt off like he was taking his pants off on the mound. Now, this has led to people attacking baseball. There were other incidents that we'll mention in a few minutes, but this incident was the big one, and it was the first one of the night, and people saying what an embarrassing episode it is for baseball. It's bad for the sport. It's a dark chapter for the industry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So let us discuss. I'm a baseball guy. I am fascinated by how this is going to play out and how long this story is going to have legs. Are we talking about the rest of the season? Are we talking about through the month of June and then it stops? Are we talking about to the end of July? Or are we going to be doing this in the baseball postseason? It's going to be fascinating to see when baseball decides to roll this back, or are they just going to continue to do this all season? But the question on this particular issue, you heard the audio from both sides. Do you have any empathy for Max Scherzer, who had a conniption fit like a toddler on the mound? Now, I'm going to go first. I am shaking my head. I'm shaking it no. I started shaking it yes, and then I said no. I'm shaking it no. Now, my observations. You've got Luke Skywalker, Animal Kingdom, and moonlighting. And we'll put all these things together and we'll form an adequate Mallard monologue. Now, number one. Listen, Max Scherzer, even though his numbers on the mound were not bad, he showed weakness. And this is going to follow Max Scherzer around as long as this rule is in place in baseball. That is on him. I have no sympathy for Scherzer. If he had kept his composure, then this thing would have blown over and it would not have escalated. And I'm going to say great job by Joe Girardi. All right, he gets a gold star. Congratulations. You get a gold. No, no. That is the job. I want my manager to be Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi played mind games. Right? He got into the head of Max Scherzer. And that's impressive. When you consider that Girardi last played in the big leagues 18 years ago, and there he is acting like Luke Skywalker using Jedi mind tricks against Max Scherzer, and for that to work against a supposed savvy veteran like Max Scherzer, who was visibly disgusted, it looked like he wanted to rip someone's head off. And he was so disgruntled by all of the checks of the hat and the glove and all that, he then got into a stare down like they were outside a saloon in the Old West, Joe Girardi and Max Scherzer after the fourth inning. And Joe Girardi was so angry. How angry was he? He was so angry that he hoppity-hopped out of the dugout and was like, bring it on, man. Bring it on. Come on, man. Let's fight right now. Me and you. Let's fight. He invited Scherzer to get into it. It was wild. It was wild. You got to find the video on that. It's on the social media. So Girardi's like, okay, let's fight right now. And that earned Girardi an ejection from the game. I thought it was all in just a tremendous thing to see and to watch. I don't have any skin in the game. I'm not a Washington Nationals fan. I'm not a Philadelphia Phillies fan. But Max Scherzer then waved goodbye to Joe Girardi, holding his hat and his glove in the air as a way to taunt Girardi. Like this, we're not talking about like the night. This is something that happened in the 1980s or the 90s. This happened a few hours ago. It was wild. And in the Scherzer's numbers, we pointed out, numbers were not bad. They're a bit misleading, though. He went only five innings. He pitched 106 pitches, you expect him to go later into the game, and the Nationals barely won the game. Philadelphia took it on the chin there 3-2 because their offense was limp. They had just 6 hits in the game. Now, the second point here, Major League Baseball pitchers as a whole have no one to blame but themselves. And it's the old, we talked about it in previous episodes. You give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And Major League Baseball looked the other way. They didn't want to enforce the rules. The rules have been, it's kind of like the police. You know, there's a lot of laws in different jurisdictions, and a lot of them are not enforced. And people in positions of power determine what they want the local police department to enforce. Well, Major League Baseball has rules on the book against doctoring the baseball. They just chose to look the other way, and they're like, well, sunscreen's okay, put a little rosin, we don't really care about that. And then over time, you know, inch by inch by inch by inch, pitchers treated that as a starter kit. And they eventually moved over to the animal kingdom. And it's all about the gorillas and the spiders, Gorilla Glue and Spider Tack. And those are the Rolls Royce of the gooey stuff that you're going to put on the ball. And baseball decided we got to do something about this. The offense is back at the 1960s level. And so what baseball did, and I love ripping Rob Manfred, but it seems very fair. Baseball started getting the word out at the end of the 2020 season. Hey, this is a problem. We're going to keep an eye on it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And they really played a game of chicken. The players thought that baseball was bluffing, and they come back to spring training. And again, Major League Baseball's like, don't do it. We're gonna start randomly checking, you know, certain pitchers and all that. You shouldn't do this in spring training. The players continue doing the nonsense. And then finally, baseball says, all right, the jig is up. Knock it off. The players didn't believe them. And now the pickle jar has been opened. And what are you doing? I mean, it's not like this. You were blindsided by this. Now, final point. So Max Scherzer is in center square. We're talking about his situation because of the back and forth with Girardi. That was a thespian performance on the mound. It was reminiscent of my youth watching This Week in Baseball with Mel Allen, because I'm old, and some of the bloopers of different players with all the gyrations and the mannerisms and all that. But knowing when the red light was on, and I'm going to go Illuminati deep state. I'm sensing a pattern. Is it possible that the union, the baseball players union, their way to combat this, that they have let the players know, if you really want to put a stop to this, start undressing on the field in front of 20,000 people? Because that, eventually baseball, we can't do this. We can't have people undress. But Scherzer, he made sure to ham it up for the cameras. It was performance art. Max Scherzer was moonlighting as a Chippendales dancer. He started doing a little striptease, although he was stopped before he did it. But that brings up Oakland A's relief pitcher, journeyman pitcher Sergio Romo, who's pitched for the Twins and the Giants, the Dodgers. He's been all over God's green earth. Sergio Romo was getting checked for the sticky stuff. And he ended up saying, hey, hold my beer, to Max Scherzer. He actually pulled his pants down. He had a Steve Lyons-like moment. You saw the guy in his underpants right there on the mound. So I'm telling you,
my love balls.
This has happened already in 2 days multiple times. I smell the rat. I sense, my Spidey-like senses tell me, that this is choreography, that the word has gotten out. Hey, you know, if you enough pitchers pull their pants down, eventually baseball is going to be forced to not do this as much, because it's going to be embarrassing and this is going to get the highlights and be, you know, popular on social media. And God forbid baseball is popular on social media. The old farts will put a stop to that right away. So I'm going to push back on this being bad for baseball. I think this will backfire for the union if my intuition is correct. I thought it was amusing. I thought it was entertaining. It was comical. It was fun. It was like Steve Psycho Lyons, the old baseball player, was on, you know, every mound around the big leagues. It was an interesting episode, to say the least. All right. It is the Ben Maller Show. You want to talk about any of that? We can certainly do it. Anything else in baseball or our lead topics. We started out talking basketball, a very controversial ending in that Phoenix Suns-LA Clippers game as the Suns were trailing with less than a second to go in the game. They were out of timeouts, and the NBA decided to give Monty Williams like a 10-minute timeout. And it was like they had a practice. They were having the Suns, they weren't even in the huddle. They were having a film session trying to decide what play they wanted to run. And then the officials were so kind to Monty Williams. I saw one of them was like laughing and joking with Monty Williams, the coach of the Suns, that they decided not to call DeAndre Ayton for pushing off on Zubats before that final play, the ball was inbounded. And I demand a full investigation. Not that the NBA will ever change any of this stuff, because that's not how they operate. They don't do it. Anyway, all right, it's Ben Maller Show on Fox, 877-99 on Fox. We'll take some more of these calls. We have Too Much or Not Enough coming up a little bit later in the hour. Also, Cooking with Roberto. And can you bring the boxing gloves? Can you bring the boxing gloves? We'll get to that. We'll do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our technical producer. He plays all the music and most funny sound bites in the Ben Maller Show. His first name is Roberto. His last name is Flores. You can follow him at Raider_Rob24.
Hovart.
Yeah, just one R. Just one R.
Hovart.
Horvat.
Hovat.
I still think we need hockey names with Roberto. But we have Cooking with Roberto coming up in just a minute. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Several listeners pointing out, Eddie, that your hot take about Derek Carr was not correct. Now, I'm still with you on this, Eddie. I got your back on this one, Eddie. But there was a statement that state-sponsored NFL media released. They supposedly relayed Derek Carr's comments. And you claimed, Eddie, we talked about this in a previous episode. We'd mentioned that Carl Nassib, the player who's with the Raiders who announced on Instagram he's gay, that particular player, this happened on Monday, and then you were wondering, you know, Derek Carr is a pretty religious guy, how would he handle this? Well, Ian Rappaport, claiming that he has a quote here from Derek Carr, says, "I often said I love my teammates." This is a quote. "I often said I love my teammates. I mean it. We always say we are a family in that Raider locker room, and we mean that. I want to win a championship here with Carl and the rest of our teammates." Close quote.
Yeah,
all right,
that's,
couple things.
That's
hey,
fine.
Do you think that he, A, said that actually came out of Derek Carr's mouth? That's the first question. The
yes,
second
I
question,
do. Yes,
you
I
do.
Do. Yes.
The second question is, will Derek Carr be saying that when he's asked daily at news conferences? Will he repeat that as his company line? Will he slip up, Eddie?
The question is not going to be, do you love Carl Nassib and your teammates?
What's the
question?
The question
is, do you approve of his lifestyle?
Oh.
And he will say no. He's going to say no if they ask him that question, and they will, because then they have a story.
Oh, that's a great story. I mean, listen, Carl Nassib is going to be fully protected by the NFL media. Anything that is said negative about him, any quotes, any plays, they're going to highlight things when he's assuming he's on the Raiders this year and makes the team, which we think he will, because of his contractual situation and all that. But it's going to be a story every week, right? If anything odd happens, well, did this happen because of this? And they're going to play the what about game, what aboutism game. But those are the initial comments, allegedly from Derek Carr. But he wasn't on camera. They were just relayed by the rap sheet. Pass those on. All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. And who do we have? Let's go to Rob in Phoenix. Hello, Rob is next on the Ben Maller Show.
Yeah, hi, Ben. Once again, a pleasure to talk with you. I understand your radio shtick and all that, and how, obviously you do have to play a role. But I, just in case some of the people that are listening to the show tonight actually believe some of the garbage you're spewing about the Clippers Suns game and series, I just want to throw a few
What did I say that was incorrect?
Well, first of all, I mean, obviously, you're putting all your eggs in the basket of the fact that there was a referee's timeout.
The referees took 10 minutes to allow Monty Williams to call up the perfect play. Why would I have a problem with that? I don't understand why I'd have a problem with that.
Well,
why would anyone have a problem with that? I think they should have given him 20 minutes. I think 10 minutes was not enough. I think 20. Yeah. He could have used 20 minutes.
I agree, because that would have given the Clippers coaching staff and players a much longer time to go back into the locker room and drop a deuce or something, you know, because obviously they didn't do anything during the multiple timeouts that happened during the last 10
seconds. Yeah, they didn't do anything. Listen, that game was biased towards the Phoenix Suns, and you are so far in the forest, you don't even see it. Now, explain to me how DeAndre Ayton's allowed to grab the jersey of Zubats and push him into Devin Booker on that final play, and that's the only way that play happens. An illegal play by DeAndre Ayton, and he got away with it.
Ben?
He got away with it. Hey, defend your guy, Rob. He cheated.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Ben, and this is, let's get real for a second. How long have you been watching NBA basketball? Probably
way too long. You know, I wish I had not. Okay. I wish I had never made the mistake of watching the NBA. It was a childhood mistake, Rob. I was a kid. I didn't know any better.
The mistake is being a Clippers fan.
And Ben, that's one thing you and I can definitely agree on. I'm not going to get into my true feelings about, you know, the corruption in the history of the NBA.
No, it's terrible. Listen, I had Tim Donahue on my podcast. I mean, it's deep.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to know who's about as bad as Tim Donaghy is Scott Foster, but that's another story for another time.
Well, that's Chris Paul's guy. That's Chris Paul's favorite.
He's also got a huge bias in the last 20 years against the Suns. He's been reffing for 27 years. If you really want to know something interesting, look at his history and experience before he became an NBA ref. It'll probably blow you away at how little experience he actually had. But as far as the game goes, now I'm gonna believe you when you said you watched the entire game. So you watched 48 minutes of the game.
Well, no, actually the game was like 3 hours. It was 48 minutes of action, but there was 40 hours. I think it ended about 3 hours after it started.
48 playing minutes. Now, obviously, you know, I've been supporting the Suns since I moved to Phoenix in 94, but I'm an objective sports guy.
Oh, come on, you're not objective. You're a Suns guy. Just admit it. Come on, you're a Suns guy. Come on, admit it. Come on.
I will tell you this. I hate the Lakers, but I really don't have anything against the Clippers. In fact,
we have that in common. Listen, I have nothing against the Suns. I hate the Lakers also. So we have something. We have common ground.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So that's kind of why I just wanted to have the conversation with you supported by factual stuff. Now, prior to the game, as soon as I realized Scott Foster was reffing, that was one strike against us. Number two was the starting lineup for the Clippers got switched up. And, of course, Pat Bev, obviously ended up in the starting lineup. Now, before this series ever started, I told my son, he's 28 years old, I always text him, you know, both before and during the games. And I said, dude, I said, Pat Bev is going to have one primary role in this series. And his primary role is to take out Booker because the ridiculous NBA COVID crap.
No, his goal is to shut down Booker, not to take him. It's not like a hit. Are you going to tell me that headbutt was intentional?
Did you watch the game?
It was not intentional.
He spared him. No, he was not intentional.
He did not spare him. Oh my God, that's a terrible take. Come on, Rob.
And Tony Parker busting up Steve Nash's nose was not intentional either.
All right, we're not going to replay things from 15 years ago or whatever. Come on. All right, thank you though. Oh yeah, please. That's what I agree.
It was intentional.
Patrick Beverley walking off the court covered in blood because Devin Booker, apparently he's a bleeder. Mike, come on. God, that's brutal.
Look.
That's a terrible take.
I don't think that was intentional. It wasn't.
Can you imagine? Hey, Beverly, can you go out there and get all bloodied up? Okay, come on.
Oh, I'm not going to put it past Patrick Beverly. That's the kind of person and player he is.
Exactly.
But
he's a great human being. No. You wish he was on the Lakers.
He's a trash NBA player. And
no,
all
he's not.
Yes, he is.
He's a great. He's a hustle guy.
All he does is foul constantly.
No,
and,
he does not.
And,
he plays defense, unlike these other losers that don't play any defense.
He's trash. But anyway, that particular play, I do not believe that was intentional. But all of your little like whining about the grabbing of the jersey, the kind of stuff that you, when it's not against your team, you say it happens on, they could call it on every single play, grabbing of the jersey.
Yep.
That always happens, and and they're not going to call it with less than a second to go in the NBA playoff game.
You should call it in that situation. They should have called it. The only way that play works is with Ayton pushing, grabbing the jersey and pushing Zubats into Devin Booker, which is an illegal play.
And
he
the Clippers,
was allowed to
the
get
Clippers
away with it.
Benefited from those replays, just
as
much.
No,
they did
not.
Yes, they did. They also got timeouts.
You want to have time as a coach to call up a play.
So what happened?
It's helter skelter.
So what happened with the last one? They had 0.7 seconds, and they had a bunch of time to draw up a play because they had to review it.
Yeah, because you're gonna from the length of the court, you're going. Yeah, good take, Coop. Oh my God. All right, we are going to have
They had all this time now, Coop.
You're blowing through the clock here, Coop. We got Cooking with Roberto later. Too much or not enough? My God. All right. Look, of course, Coop can't defend the story of the night here. A Laker player was arrested on Tuesday. Coop doesn't. He's trying to sweep that under the ground. Can't LeBron keep his teammates under control there? My God. What a bunch of punks on the Lakers getting arrested. Unreal.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I look for these other stories that I don't think you're probably going to talk about, and sometimes it's easier to find things than others. And so I'm scrolling through the different sports web pages, and I keep seeing this story about this Philadelphia Philly or former Phillies star prospect who's decided to quit baseball and pursue his dream of playing football. His name is Dylan Cousins. There's a hockey player named Dylan Cousins, but this is a different guy.
Never heard of him.
I've never heard of him either. Apparently, at one time, he was the number one prospect in Major League Baseball. Lately, he'd been playing AAA baseball in Nashville for now the Brewers organization. But he released a statement on Twitter, said that he's quitting baseball and it's now time to pursue his dream of playing in the NFL. Now, we've seen people do this before. Of course, Tim Tebow most recently was the latest one. He gave up baseball to try and make the NFL. So I'm like, Dylan Cousins, the name, I don't know. Where did he play college football? So I looked and looked and looked. He never played college football.
Oh, really?
He had a scholarship offer at the University of Arizona, but he last played football in high school.
Ooh.
Why is this a story? Why are people telling you?
Well, I know. I didn't think it was a story. I've never heard of the guy. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, a know-nothing baseball player has decided to go try and play football, even though he has no experience to speak of playing a high level of football. All right.
All right, so a couple of things. Now, I ran a sports blog, as you know, Eddie, for years, and it's very competitive. You have to come up with a certain number of stories every day, even when there's nothing. And I aggregated the sporting news together on that website that I did. And, you know, there's some days where there's nothing. There's other days where there's 20 things. But even when there's nothing going on, you still have to come up with something. You've got to make something out of nothing. And that's an example of making something out of nothing.
It really is.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Good luck to you, Dylan Cousins.
Yes.
I'm sure the NFL is just ready to offer you a contract.
And when he gets offered a contract in training camp, everyone will say, it's racist. They let him play. Shame on them. How dare them? No, anyway. All right. To Ben Maller's show on Fox as we press on. I did see a funny quote from David Wells. Now, David Wells a couple months ago said he doesn't like baseball, doesn't watch baseball. But he did an interview on a baseball podcast recently and said that he hates umpires and he thinks that players should be able to punch one of them every game. Now, he was obviously joking around. It was a grab-ass interview. But when he started going down this avenue, and it was awesome. I mean, he played with the Dodgers also. He was pretty good for a stretch with the Dodgers, Boomer Wells, at the end of his career. But he says we should be allowed. That's like a Charles Barkley line, punching umpire. Barkley said you should be able to punch a fan. And David Wells is like, just punch an umpire, the bad umpire. Anyway, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox, and that leads us into...
It's another Ben Maller game.
We've endured too many of these.
Is it too much or not enough?
Enough already.
All right, too much or not enough. Let's go now to a man who is just 5 wins away from making Eddie Garcia eat crow. Everyone on this show is pulling for the Montreal Canadiens because of Credit Card Gordon. Hello, Credit Card Gordon.
Morning, Big Ben. How are you?
Go Habs, go. Go
no
Habs,
kidding.
Go.
No, they got it together.
Yeah. How cocky is Eddie over there? He says he's not worried.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. Okay. Gordon, he's just laughing it up right to Eddie's
face.
That's
actually not what I said. I said I'm as worried as you are about your Clippers. That's what
I
said.
Nah, you implied, Eddie,
yeah,
you're not
that.
Worried.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're implied you're not worried.
Yeah. I think it's all over.
I actually implied we both should be worried.
I'm not worried. I don't work for the Clippers. I don't have any, bets with Credit Card Gordon involving money. All right, anyway, here's the too much or not enough. You're going to be a legit player here, Gordon, or you're going to goof around? Which Credit Card Gordon are we getting?
The serious one.
Okay, oh, the serious. It's very serious. It's sports talk radio in the middle of the night. Here we go.
Oh, yeah, it's really serious. I love that baseball story. I think reminds me of Slapshot at the end where the guy's doing a striptease.
That's right. It's like a Chippendales dancer. All right, so DeAndre Ayton just became the 5th Suns player in the last 25 years to make a go-ahead shot within the final second of a playoff game. Is that too much or not enough?
Too much.
Credit Card Gordon says too much. Let's find out. That is correct, Credit Card Gordon. You got that one right. You got to get 3 right to win the game. Get all 5 right. We'll give you 2 golden tickets. And he's the 3rd player, DeAndre Ayton. The others, Stephon Marbury and Boris Diaw. We'll have to go back and look at the tape to see if they also pushed off to get those shots. Question number 2. Doc Rivers now has 22 losses with a chance to clinch a playoff series. Is that too much or not enough for the embattled Sixers coach?
Too much.
Going too much again. Let's find out. That's a bad job by you, Gordon. I mentioned this stat the other day. Not enough. Doc Rivers, real name Glenn, he's not actually a doctor. Certainly not a doctor of basketball. If he was, it would be medical malpractice or basketball malpractice. He's had 29 losses, Doc. Glenn Rivers there with a chance to clinch a playoff series, the most by any coach in history. Question number 3. John Rahm became only the 2nd major winner since 2000 to birdie the last 2 holes in the final round. Is that too much or not enough?
Not enough.
Gordon right away said not enough. Let's find out if that is correct. That is correct. John Rahm is the 4th major winner to do that. He joins Tiger Woods in 2000 and Carl Schwartzel in 2011. Also Phil Mickelson in 2013. Question number 4. You get this right, you win the game, Credit Card Gordon. Here we go.
Not the pressure.
The Atlanta Hawks became the 4th team under the current playoff format to make the conference finals without an all-star on the roster. Is that too much or not enough?
Too much.
This is for the win. This is for the golden ticket. Let's find out. That's the winner! Congratulations, the Atlanta Hawks. Only the 2nd team, they joined the Indiana Pacers back in the mid-90s.
I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket.
Now, the Atlanta Hawk apologists will say, well, they should have had an all-star. They could have had an all-star. They would have had an all-star, except the idiots didn't put Trae Young on the all-star team. But anyway.
Webb.
Boy, you're dating yourself. All right, congratulations, Gordon. And remember, everyone on this show other than Eddie is pulling for the Montreal Canadiens. We want the Habs to win the Stanley Cup.
It's in the cards.
Okay, thank you.
The hockey gods.
The hockey gods, that's right. We've got Cooking with Roberto. It is warming up on the stove right now. Roberto, what are we making this week on this episode of Cooking with Roberto?
Sausage patty breakfast sandwich.
All right, so a sausage breakfast sandwich.
Freshly made sausage patty breakfast sandwich here.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Now, I you want to hear what I'm planning on making in the next like month or so? What my big
yeah.
plan? I'm planning on making a homemade deep dish Chicago style pizza.
Wow!
I've been watching YouTube videos, Roberto, to try to match. Have you ever done that? Have you
no.
ever done the deep dish?
The deep dish, no.
Have you ever had the Chicago deep dish pizza?
Yes, I have.
You have. It's good, right?
It's great. Yeah,
it's amazing. I thought I was going to hate it, but now I'm like, I got to make it. And these YouTube videos are like 5 minutes, and then boom, it's done. But I was hoping you had done it, but maybe you can do it and give me some pointers. But anyway, on this edition, a sausage breakfast sandwich. This is an old family recipe, Roberto.
Damn right.
Yes,
this comes from Mexico, baby.
All right, from Mexico. Viva Mexico.
And, sausage patty came from Mexico. Like nobody knew about that.
Nobody realized it.
Yeah.
They thought it came somewhere else. Sausage was invented in Mexico. All right, we will have Cooking with Roberto. We'll do it next.
Most are unable to lend an ear to the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you can get caught up on unique show moments that you might have missed. The Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcast. It's a piece of cake and upsets the corporate guys. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Into the kitchen we go now for another fan favorite, Cooking with Roberto.
Yeah.
This portion. And Roberto, we are making a breakfast sausage sandwich.
Patty breakfast sandwich. Before I do that, I want to give a shout out to my sister who made a Father's Day dinner for my brother and I and my dad. Shout
oh,
out
nice!
To my sister gets down in the kitchen. I gotta admit, you know, it's a little competition that we have, and she likes to say that she's better than me, you know. And she tells my mom, "Who's better, me or my brother?" Yeah. And my mom doesn't want to say, you know, her mom's
it's a sibling rivalry there.
So I got her some credit. She can.
So
come,
now,
my
Roberto,
sister.
If you ever miss cooking with Roberto, what's your sister's name?
Denise.
So should we have cooking with Denise?
Yeah.
Yes,
that's right.
She can step in for you when you have to take a day away. We can have cooking
damn
with
Denise. Right. Yeah.
All right.
Shout out to my sister. All right, big man. We're going to make the sausage patty from scratch, okay?
Okay.
Got that? So this.
Now you're going to go out and kill the.
We're going to kill the pork. We're going to go out there and kill the pork. Damn right.
All right.
All right. We need some sage, some thyme, some brown sugar, kosher salt,
yes,
some fennel
you.
Seeds, pepper flakes, ground pepper, garlic powder, smoked paprika, all right, the pork shoulder, all right?
Okay, I got all that.
And for that's the sandwich, unsalted butter, an English muffin, of course, the sausage patty that we're going to make.
How great is it? It's the English muffin. It's not the French muffin. It's not the Italian muffin. It's the English muffin.
Yeah. It's very underrated. I feel like it's underrated.
That was one of my go-tos when I used to eat breakfast when I was a kid.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
Smothered in butter.
Yeah, exactly. American or cheddar cheese, two large eggs, kosher salt, of course, freshly ground black pepper. All right. And a handful of fresh chopped, fresh chives, hot sauce, honey, optional. For the patty, really fast, we're going to mix all those ingredients together. All right, we're going to work it with the hands, mix it all together until it's very well blended.
You gotta get those hands dirty.
You gotta get dirty. That's the whole point. You get dirty.
You gotta be a dirty dog.
Dirty dog. Scoop out of one-fourth cups of mixture, and we're gonna make patties out of that bad boy. Set those patties aside, all right? Set those patties aside while you're making this sandwich here.
Okay.
All right. For the English muffin, butter each half of the English muffin on both sides. Heat a large griddle or cast iron skillet over medium heat. Okay.
Not too hot, not too
exactly.
Cold.
Medium.
Yeah, medium.
Medium's the way to go. Toast muffin on griddle. Cut side down. Pressing slightly until golden brown. About 3 minutes. Okay?
All right.
Flip and toast
that's not
on.
Long.
No, not long at all. Flip and toast on other side. Pressing slightly until golden brown on other side. About 3 minutes. Meanwhile, cook the sausage patty on the griddle until brown on one side. About 2 minutes to cook that patty. It's not going to be thick. It's going to be not thick at all. Very thin. Okay?
I like it thin. I don't like it thick.
Flip and top American or cheddar cheese. All right. Cook the sausage until it's melts in about 2 minutes. We're going to turn the heat off, all right?
Turn it off.
We're going to heat the butter with the eggs. We're going to put the spatula. We're going to fold the egg, all right? Top with chives and fold eggs over to make a half moon. Fold in half again. Serve on to serve top bottom half of English muffin with egg, then sausage. Drizzle with honey and sauce.
There you go.
Boom.
And you'll tweet out the recipe, the whole thing.
Right now, baby.
All right.